In the ringing of the bells, we come together for the healing love offered by God and for God's presence that will never fail. In thanksgiving, we bring our hearts and our spirits into the presence of God that we may grow in our faith and service to God by serving others. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome our members and our friends and guests this morning. A special welcome to Michelle Hopp, who will be our guest speaker this morning. She is from the United Methodist Church in Merrimack. I would also like to say Happy Father's Day to our fathers and also to the men who have mentored or been a father figure to someone. Please be sure and sign the attendance pads. They're in the end of the pew towards the center aisle. And you'll also notice in the pew racks, there are blue cards that you can put your prayer concerns on. Now, during the collection of the offering, please put those cards in the offering plate. For our announcements, I'd like to share that on Sunday, July 2nd, at 10 a.m., we'll be worshiping at Whitwin Campgrounds. There will be at 9:30 coffee and donut fellowship. You're not going to want to miss that. They have really good donuts. I remember from last year. So remember, we will not have service here on the 2nd at Concordia. There will also be an opportunity to get into a carpool so you don't have to drive. Other announcements on the 25th, Paul Webster, our agricultural minister, will be here to talk during service. And Carlene's Walk at 1 o'clock. Community meal will be at 4 o'clock. If there aren't any other announcements to share, Gina would like to make an announcement. Gina?
Morning. On behalf of Staff Parish Relations Committee, I'm happy to announce that we've hired an administrative assistant. Her name is Diana Clark, and she started this past Thursday. She'll be with us until August 25th, at which time she will go back to the schools. She's a teacher in Richland Center. 3 weeks prior to her leaving, on August 7th, Nancy Liga will begin as administrative assistant, and the two of them will do training for 3 weeks before Diana leaves. So if you happen to see these ladies in the office, please introduce yourself and welcome them. The other announcement also is that we still have an opening for treasurer. So if you happen to see Pam Dixon or Ann Feeney, please thank them for all their hard work, many hours of service and dedication to ensure that everything associated with the treasurer's duties are taken care of. So thank you.
Please join me in our praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. Now in our singing, please turn in the black hymnal to page 2271. Come, come, everybody worship.
Thank you.
please join me in our prayer. Loving God, we thank you for each new morning with its light, for rest and shelter of the night, for health and food, for love and friends, for everything that goodness sends. Amen. Now please stand as you are able, for Morning Has Broken, found in the red hymnal on page 145.
And I see we don't have any children here today, but we'll make some of you children and we'll have fun anyway. Want to reintroduce myself? My name is Michelle Hopp, and I am from Merrimack United Methodist Church, not too far away from here. And I just became a certified lay speaker, but I have done a lot of speaking with United Methodist Women. I've been on some of their leadership teams. So thank you for welcoming me. And I send greetings from Pastor Doris. I saw her yesterday at an annual conference. She's having a wonderful time, and she'll be back with you soon. So today, what I was hoping that we could talk about, well, what we're going to talk about, is gratitude. And what a great topic on Father's Day, when we probably all have some man in our life who we need to be grateful for. And what I was going to bring up with the children is a verse from chapter 5, verse 18. It's really simple. It says, in everything, give thanks. Even if you don't like what's happening in your life, find a way to turn it around and find something to be thankful for. So I have a bag of presents. Now, normally when I do this with kids, they get super excited because they're thinking there's going to be really cool things in here. So I am going to give, well, we'll start with you. Here's our first present. Isn't that exciting? Are you happy to get that present? Very happy. Look at that. What do you think, what are you grateful for in that present of a ball of tin foil? She can play with, oh, she's a good kid. She can play with it. Really good. What else can you use tin foil for? Her food. Oh, she's really good. I picked a good starting one. Well, enjoy your present. Oh, you are so welcome. All right. So now we're going to find it. Oh, I know a kid over here. Karen, how do you like your empty can of soda? You don't like Coca-Cola, so there's something to be grateful for. I gave her an empty container. What else can you be thankful for in that empty container of Coca-Cola?
Something to drink when you need it.
That's right. And the other thought I had is you might be able to get a little money if you save them up, if you recycle. You can always find something to be grateful for, even in something you don't really want. Okay, I need one more kit. Oh, I see a volunteer child back there. Here is for you, a wonderful rubber band. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you do with that wonderful rubber band?
Well,
did it break already?
Well, that's okay.
That's, see, great attitude. She's okay even though it broke. She can.
You can wrap it around and tie it in a knot.
You can tie it in a knot if you're bored in church. Uh-huh. You can hold stuff. And what I heard from some kids is you can actually use it for spit wads. Some of you may have done that back in the day. Shoot. At my work, I work at Merrimack Communications, and it's mostly a bunch of men. And they like to play jokes on me, so they'll go to my office and whip in rubber bands at me. I don't know why. But that could be used for that kind of thing, too. So I just want you to keep that in mind. Whenever your life deals you something that you really, really, really don't want, you can always find something to be grateful for. And all these kids did really well, didn't they? Yay! If they really want them.
Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, and verses 45 through 46. It talks about regulations against infectious skin diseases. And recently, our adult Sunday school class had studied these scriptures from Leviticus, and we found out how unfortunate it was for young women, how they were treated as far as being purified. So if you ever get a chance, please read Leviticus. It's pretty interesting. When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot on his skin that may become an infectious disease, he must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin. And if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is an infectious skin disease. When the priest examines him, he shall pronounce him certainly unclean. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. At this time, Barb Haltberg is going to play for us.
If you want to follow along with the words to the piece I'm going to play, the number's in the bulletin, it's in the black Faith We Sing book, number 2055. And this piece, "You Are My Hiding Place," I know that sometimes people think, well, you shouldn't hide in God, you know. But I think of it not as hiding from the world, but hiding to get strength. And that's what this song talks about. And I especially love the part that says, "Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord." because there's so many times I feel weak or unworthy or incompetent or whatever. But it's His strength that we live in, not ours. And that gives us the courage and strength to go on. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 11 through 19. 10 are healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God. In a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Well, thank you, Suzanne, for the reading of our scriptures today. Now, I'd like you all to consider this question as truthfully as you can. What were your first thoughts this morning when you woke up? Think about that. If you're like most people, you immediately thought of your to-do list. You woke up and said, "Oh, it's Sunday. Oh, I have to get dressed. I have to eat. I've got to get to church. Where are my car keys? I've got to make that awful phone call to that person after church. I don't want to do it." Most people wake up and think about either the things they need to do or the things they're dreading to do. But when you start your day that way, who are you leaving out? God. A much better way to start your day is to say, as soon as you're awake enough, "Good morning, God. Thank you for another day of life." When you start your day that way, you're putting God first, and your first thoughts are about God. And you're also being grateful to be alive, because none of us is guaranteed another day. I told you earlier that I'm active with United Methodist Women, and every summer there is a week-long, a bunch of classes on mission called Mission U. And United Methodist Women actually they sponsor people to write books that are copyrighted United Methodist Women. And at Mission U, you're able to take a couple of classes. Well, a couple years ago, I took a class that was called Created for Happiness, Understanding Your Life in God. So I got together with a group of only about 15 women per class, and we had a pastor to instruct us for 4 days, for 2 hours a day. It was awesome. And on the first day of my class, my instructor was the Reverend Mary Catherine Pierce. And she is as formidable as her name sounds. And she explained to us that one of the best ways to practice, to grow spiritually, is to practice gratitude every day. And she encouraged us to keep a gratitude journal. And to start this practice, she gave each one of us one of these little notebooks. And just so we didn't get confused as to why we had these little notebooks, it actually says gratitude journal on the front, so we knew what to do with it. And our homework that first day was to open this journal and write down something that we were grateful for. Well, you know, I'm on the conference team, and of course I have duties, so I'm running around doing all my duties, and my class with Mary Catherine was after lunch. And all of a sudden, it's lunchtime, and I realized I had not written in my gratitude journal. And I knew that if I did not do my homework in Mary Catherine's class, she'd call me out on it. And it was one of those days where I just running ragged, you know, all the to-do list things, and I was starting to get a headache. And I'm like, I think I'm just going to go outside and sit down on a bench, clear my head, and I'm sure I'll think of something that I'm grateful for. Well, much to my dismay, one of my new friends in my class came and plopped herself right next to me on the bench. And of course, what I thought to myself was, oh, please, not now. I need to rest, not make small talk. And I still haven't found something to write about that in my journal. Well, this silent plea did not stop my new friend. She pulled out a book that she had just purchased at the bookstore at Mission U, and she asked me if she could read to me. My mind screamed, no! But my attempt at good manners forced me to say, that would be really nice. Isn't that awful? I'm so ashamed of myself. That's really how I was acting. And she proceeded to read a book of the most beautiful prayers I think I've ever heard. They were poetic, and they lifted me up, and I closed my eyes, and I started to relax, and my headache went away. And she finished reading just in time for me to get to class. And I went to class, and I opened up my notebook, and guess what I wrote? I am grateful for my new friend who read prayers to me. Just like the children's story, you can take what you consider to be bad things, turn them into good. Gratitude really does change us, and it helps us to look for the positive in every situation. Now, in our Bible reading today that Suzanne read to us, we heard about the difficult life that people who had leprosy had back in Bible days. And leprosy has terrified people since ancient times, and I was interested to find out that it's actually caused by a bacteria that affects the nervous system, even though it looks like it's a skin and bone disease. And its symptoms start in the skin. So if you're going to get leprosy, the first sign is going to be in your skin. And then it spreads to other parts of your body, such as your hands, in your feet, and your face, and your earlobes. And people with leprosy have disfigured skin and bones, and they have twisted limbs, so their arms and their legs are all twisted. And then they have curled fingers that look like claws, because they kind of curl together like this, so you can imagine what it's like to even pick up something. And their outer ear thickens, so they're going to have big, fat outer ears, and then their nose collapses. Doesn't sound like much fun, does it? And despite these terrible physical deformities, perhaps an even greater problem caused by leprosy is that it affects the nerves. So people with leprosy don't feel much. They don't feel pain. So guess what happens? They're using a knife. They cut themselves. They're not going to feel it. They're boiling water. They pour it on themselves. They're not going to feel it. So they ended up getting a lot of more problems from not being able to feel. Now, because leprosy was such a terrifying disease, and it was really, really contagious, Jewish priests back in the Bible days, not doctors, but priests, were taught how to diagnose it. I want to share something that I learned in a class that I took for this whole lay speaking track that I was on. This is something I never knew. Our Jewish friends, they read the Torah. Many of you have probably heard of the Torah. Did you know that the Torah is the first five books of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So this was a book of the law. These are the laws that the Jewish people followed. And of course, Jesus was a Jew. So Jesus knew the Torah really well. And in the Torah is Leviticus, which Suzanne was telling you about, where it has a lot of rules. And in the 13th chapter of Leviticus, the whole chapter is about leprosy. And I'm not really all that big into rules, but that book is really cool. If you ever have the chance to read it, the 13th chapter, it's super interesting. So I'd like to go ahead and read through this again and kind of give you a little bit more information. It's kind of like a mini Bible study. So starting in the 13th chapter, verses 2 and 3, it said, and again, Jesus knew this inside and out. He had the scripture memorized. He knew this. When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or even a spot, can you imagine that? If you had anything on your skin, and it turns into a leprous disease on the skin of the body, he will be brought to Aaron the priest, not the doctor, the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall examine the disease on the skin of the body. And here's the sign. If the hair in the diseased area has turned white, it is a leprous disease. And after the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him ceremonially unclean. So the priest, if you had this swelling or eruption or a rash on your skin, and then you saw the hair inside of it turn white, guess where you had to go? To the priest. And then the priest would check it over, and if the priest thought it was leprosy, he would say, "You, young man, you, young woman, you have leprosy, and you are unclean." Well, what did unclean mean? It meant you couldn't hang out with anybody anymore. You couldn't hang out with anybody who was well. You couldn't even live in the village. You were banished to outside the village. You could live with other lepers, but your family, you could not see again. You could not see your kids. You could not see your parents. You could not see your grandma or anything. You were banished. Now, almost as bad as having this disease was, because I explained to you how horrible it was to just have the physical symptoms, like I was just saying, the consequences of having it socially were even worse. I'll again read verses 45 and 46. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes. Does that sound like fun? Tearing your clothes? Let the hair of their head be disheveled, shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So can you imagine? What I did find that people with leprosy were sometimes allowed to go to church. So back in those days, church was synagogue. They were not allowed to be in the same room. They made a separate room that was walled off so that they couldn't have any, you know, contact with people. But as they went to church, they had to come in ripped clothes. They had to rip their clothes. So think about when you came to church today. Did you wear your ratty clothes? Probably not. They also had to dishevel their hair. You probably at least combed your hair, right? And then as you approached people, you had to cover your upper lip and mouth, and you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine what that would be like to live that way? You would have to live outside your village. You'd be separated from your family and your job. A lot of people in those days farmed, wouldn't be able to help your family. If you were lucky, relatives might leave food for you. Otherwise, you had to fend for yourself, and you might have been pretty hungry. You would likely live with other people who had leprosy. Lepers tend to form communities, so at least they weren't completely alone. And the only way you would ever be able to go back and live with your family is if you got cured somehow. And then you would go to the priest, And the priest would say, "You are clean. You can come back into the village." So the story that Suzanne read about Jesus and the seven lepers is very special because it reminds us of the importance of being grateful. In the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers, that's in the chapter of Luke, the 17th chapter, pages, well, again, I don't know if you all have pew Bibles, so I'll just read this for you. And I'll start reading verses 11 through 13. If you want to follow along, it's in the New Testament of the Bible, pages 75 through 76. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." Now, there's a few things to notice about this account. First of all, it wasn't uncommon, like we said before, that lepers would hang together. There were 10 together right now. But where were they? They were outside the village, weren't they? And do you notice what they asked Jesus for? Did they ask Jesus for healing? They asked Jesus for mercy. Isn't that interesting? They weren't specifically asking to be healed. Now, continuing in verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And they went, and they were made clean. My friends, think about what that walk would have been like. Just imagine you're one of the 10 lepers, and you have all these twisted limbs and sunken noses and fat ears, and Jesus has just told you, "Go to the priest. You are clean." And that walk to the priest's house, you're walking with your friends, and you look at them, and you go, "Oh, the rashes on your skin are gone. Look, your nose has come out normally. You can walk. Your legs aren't twisted. Your ears are no longer big and fat." What a joyous walk that would have been to the priest's house. I'll continue the reading in verses 15 through 18. And then one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Remember, Samaritans were hated by the Jews? And then Jesus asked, "Well, wait a minute. Were not 10 made clean? What about these other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this one foreigner, this one Samaritan?" Isn't it ironic that the only person who came back to say thank you to Jesus was a Samaritan, somebody hated by the Jews? They were different in their culture. They were different in their religion. Jews and Samaritans did not get along at all, but that was the only one who came back. I'll finish the story by reading verse 19. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up," because remember, this man's down on his knees screaming, "Thank you, thank you." And Jesus said to him, "Get up and get on your way. Your faith has made you well." So not only did Jesus heal the Samaritan, he blessed him because of the Samaritan's gratitude. So what can we learn about this story about Jesus and the 10 lepers? It's a cool story, but what are we supposed to learn about it? Well, the biggest lesson that we learn from this is that Jesus expects us to be grateful. Jesus expects us to be grateful. It's not optional. It's an expectation. We all need to work at showing thanks, giving thanks, and being filled with thanksgiving. waking up in the morning and instead of thinking of your to-do list, saying, thank you, God, for another day of life. Jesus expects this of us. But as a human being, I understand why those other nine didn't go back to Jesus. I mean, think about it. They've not been able to be with their families for maybe years. I know if I was one of the lepers and I just got clean, I'd want to go and hug and kiss my grandkids and be reunited with my kids and my husband. And I would have probably had a big party going on and, you know, big celebration. And I probably, quite honestly, would have forgotten to go back and say thank you to Jesus. And this made me reflect on my own life. When have I forgotten to be thankful? And it didn't take me long, and I thought of a big one. Back about 25 years ago, I was in a car accident. And I ended up hurting my back. And it wasn't diagnosed quite right. And after a few years, I ended up needing emergency surgery because I was losing function in the lower half of my body. And I was in the hospital. I just had back surgery. And I had to relearn how to walk. It was a surprising time for me, actually, because I'd always been a very active mother. I had two young children at the time. They were like 9 and 11. And we used to hike and, you know, hike around Durwood's Glen and Devil's Lake. And we would walk down to the ferry and get ice cream. And, you know, we walked and we went to parks and we were just always active. And all of a sudden, I'm in a hospital bed with my one foot and ankle and toes flopping like a fish because of nerve damage and other issues. And my children, who were 9 and 10 at this time, they would come to the hospital and they would visit me, but you could tell they were happy to see me, but they were scared. They didn't want to see mom looking like this. And they would watch me learn how to try to walk again, and I'd be there with my walker and my leg brace and a bag of urine hanging on my walker, and that's hard for little kids to see. And at that time, I just prayed, God, please help my children. Help them to find something so that they're not so sad about this, so that I'm not so sad about this. And on that very first night after my surgery, I got a call from my neighbor, Lori. And Lori said, can I take your kids to a water park in the Dells? And I'm like, sure, that would be awesome. So she took them all day, and then she came and visited me with the kids. She brought the kids to the hospital, and they were happy. They were talking about their day and all the slides they went on and all the activities they did. And even though they were a little upset that I was still in the hospital, their mind had been distracted. But it got even better. Every day that I was in the hospital, which was about a week, Lori took my kids someplace special. But in the busyness of coming home from the hospital, and of course I had tons of therapy and all that other stuff, and I was learning how to walk again, I got a little busy, and I forgot to properly thank Lori. And to be completely honest, what I was the busiest at was feeling sorry for myself. A couple of years ago, I finally remembered. It was actually as I read this story about Jesus and the 10 leopards in my Bible, I finally realized that I needed to thank Lori, and I actually went to her house. And I said, Lori, do you remember about 20 years ago or so when you helped me when the kids, you know, when I was in the hospital? And she goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I said, I never thanked you. You have no idea what you did and what it meant to my family and me. And she just smiled. You know, she just did it because she wanted to do it. It was the right thing for her, but it made such a difference in my life. And even though it took me 20 years, my friends, it had an impact that I went to her and said, thank you. This next week, I encourage every one of you to think about somebody that you have forgotten to thank. Maybe it's a parent Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a neighbor, a close friend, a not-so-close friend, a relative. And with today being Father's Day, maybe it will be a father or a father figure in your life. But really, be honest with yourself and think about, what is a time that somebody did something really awesome for me and I forgot to thank them? And then take the time, call them, visit them, send them an email, text them, write them a letter, send them a card, and tell them how much their act of kindness meant to you. Start your own practice of gratitude. Keep a gratitude journal, or simply when you wake up in the morning, thank God for being alive and think about what else you're grateful for. And watch, my friends, if you do a practice of gratitude, your life will begin to fill with joy and peace. Amen. And now we have our song, For the Beauty of the Earth. And this is in your red hymnals, and it's song number 95. And please stand and, oh, no, no. Well, never mind then. We're going to get right on with the offertory. So this is the offertory time. So do we have ushers come up then? Okay, so would the ushers please come forward? And they're here. Coming to me, I have trouble with stairs. Thank you. Join in the offering prayer that's in your bulletin. All things come from you, O God, and with gratitude we return to you what is yours. You created all that is, and with love formed us in your image. When our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. All that we are and all that we have is a trust from you. And so, in gratitude for all your gifts, we offer you ourselves and all that we have in union with Christ's offering for us. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And please be seated. And we have several prayer requests. I like how you do this at your church. This is really nice. The person needing prayer is Bruce Cook and the VIM team who are at Red Cliff. Bruce is leading a volunteer and mission work camp beginning this evening. And that request was made by Jeff. Prayers requested also for Pastor Doris, John, and Tom as they're attending the annual conference in Middleton. And that's from Jeff also. Prayers needed for a dear friend, Les Akala, who is scheduled for open heart surgery at the end of June. And that request is from Irene. Aw. And thank you, Michelle and Suzanne, for leading us in worship. And that's from Gina. Are there any other, anybody else you'd like to have lifted up this morning? All right, please join me in prayer. Dear powerful, glorious, loving God, thank you for this church, and thank you for these people, and bless them and fill them with peace and love and hope and gratitude. And Lord, you've heard our prayers. Please be with Bruce Cook and for his VIM trip, and help him be a blessing along with the people he's with to those he is ministering to. And Lord, please be with the team that's at annual conference and help them to be enriched and refreshed and come back to this congregation with all kinds of new and exciting ideas to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask for your healing powers. You are the mighty healer, O Lord. And we ask for healing for Les Akala as he undergoes open heart surgery at the end of this month. And also, we ask for your healing mercies for everybody in here who has a physical, mental, emotional problem or need or hurt. We ask you to heal. Heal us all, Lord, and heal those people that we are reaching out. And help us to remember to be grateful, Lord. Help us to always look for the good, even in a bad situation, because as hard as it might be to find, it's there. And you have required us to be grateful. And now we will say the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, our closing song, if you please stand in body or spirit. This is in our black hymnal, 2153, one of my favorite songs, Give Thanks. Oh, 2036, thank you. We have a little bit of a typo, my apologies. 2036 instead, or we would have been singing the wrong words. Thank you, Marty. Benediction today comes from Colossians, the third chapter. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.